Thank you. Thanks very much. And good to be here again today to talk about the Midwest. And I have to say this, that I'm actually quite looking forward to the task of making a choice, and for reasons that I will go into later on in this speech. But there is, we've got slides up. Sorry, we've been racing against some very serious deadlines here. There is something of an economic miracle that is occurring in the state's Midwest region, but most of us are aware that these miracles are not a result of divine intervention, but require foresight and strategic investment, both by the private and public sectors. I want to talk to you today about how the state government has prepared the Midwest region so that it has been in a position to take advantage of the great commodities boom taking place as a result of the rapid industrialisation of China and India. I believe that we can rightly argue that our government saw the unmet potential of the Midwest in the early years of our government and took a series of strategic steps to position Geraldton and its hinterland so that it was well placed to get an early ride on the resources boom. I then will go on and talk of the current measures that we're undertaking to take Geraldton and the Midwest even further as a resources centre and indeed as a major regional city of Western Australia. One of the first infrastructure decisions that we took when we came to government was in 2001. When we came to government in 2001, was to build the Mount Magnet Leinster Road. Now, at the time, it was a $46 million project. It would now be something like a $150 million project, and it involved 163 kilometres of road. It was actually quite a controversial project because the Goldfields Esperance region were not that keen for this road to be built because they thought that it would indeed attract product out of their area. But when we looked at this strategically, it was a very important east-west link, and it really did give us that level of connectivity that we needed to ensure that we could bring product across from that very prospective greenstone belt over to Geraldton. It was a good project where currently there's an extraordinary array of product that travel along that road, but very significantly for the Geraldton port, we've got copper concentrate and zinc, about 200,000 tonnes a year of copper concentrate and zinc moving across that road to the Geraldton port. But it also is a major mover of fuel, sodium cyanide, lime, nickel ore, nickel concentrate and gold. So it's been a very important but perhaps not widely appreciated piece of infrastructure. The second big decision we made was the Southern Transport Corridor Stage 1. We made a commitment to that in 2000 and 2002. And this was a project that enabled modern road and rail access into the Geraldton port and also enabled us to take that freight line from the front of the Geraldton town centre and create a whole new life for that town. It was 13 kilometres of new rail from the Nangaloo Industrial Estate, 4 new road bridges and 2 rail tunnels. That was completed in September 2005, the cost of $92 million, 6 months ahead of schedule. Another great project. At the same time that we committed to that important piece of infrastructure, we committed to the Geraldton Port Enhancement Project. The expansion of the Geraldton port had been on hold for 8 years with the Liberal and National Party components of the coalition government pursuing competing objectives. The Liberal Resources Minister, Minister Barnett, said of Okajie that Okajie could only be developed at the expense of the existing Geraldton port. He said the government will not commit to hundreds of millions of dollars to both projects. My preference is for Okajie, and if that goes ahead, and if it does go ahead, development at the port will be ruled out. The National Party, under Minister Eric Charlton, at the same time, disagreed He said that there was no link between Oakajee and Geraldton Port, and he promised to commit $50 to $70 million to improve the access of the Geraldton Port in 1996. He said that products that go in and out of this port today will always be going in and out of this port. However, the local Liberal member, Mr Bob Bloffridge, disagreed and said that this was a waste of time and it amounted to a duplication of resources. So quite clearly we had here, within the previous government, no unified vision of the Mid West, and as a result, nothing happened in terms of the development of this vital economic infrastructure for the region. So when we came to government, we took the view that while the option and the vision for an Oakajee deep water port was to be maintained, the enhancement of the port of Geraldton was a very practical and much needed first step that would enable the Midwest iron ore industry to be kick-started. It would also greatly advantage the traditional major user of the port, the grain industry, which was unable, with the current shallow waters of the port, to single load vessels, and this was adding very considerable cost penalties to the export of grain from the Midwest. And very importantly, without this port enhancement, it simply would not have been possible, even for today's smaller iron ore ships, to use the Geraldton port. The draft was only 9 metres. So we made the, at the time, again, considered somewhat controversial decision back in 2002 to invest $103 million in that port enhancement project to deepen the basin to 12.5 metres. And it paid off because in February 2004 we saw the first iron ore shipment that had taken place from the Midwest in some 30 years, with Mount Gibson Iron exporting iron to Nanjing in China. Now, the upgrade of these facilities in the Midwest has allowed the Midwest miners to achieve a start-up capital to develop to achieve the cash flows that are enabling them to prove up the iron ore resources, the other more major iron ore resources in the Midwest. So we have, having done the port enhancement, we've continued the upgrades. In particular, the iron ore trade grew so much in those first years since 2004 that we've had to now develop a special dedicated iron ore berth, which is Berth 5, $50 million project, which we have completed earlier this year. We are already underway with the design of the next upgrade project, which is an $18 million upgrade of the train unloader. Now, with these projects, with the new train unloader, we will be able to move around 8 million tonnes per annum off berth 5. So if we just have a look in, I'm not sure that we've got a slide of the expansion in the port exports of iron ore, but 2004, we had something less than 500,000 tonnes. That has grown, as you see, over current years. Last year we had nearly 4.5 million tonnes, and we're expecting 5 million tonnes in this current year. So you can see that idea that we had about the strategically investing in the transport corridor and in the port enhancement has really enabled this industry to kick off in the Midwest. And it is those companies that have been able to export out of this port that have been placed now to go on to the next stage. And that next stage, of course, is the Oakajee Deepwater Port. There are three companies that have emerged that have had deposits or have deposits of such a size or location that could underpin the construction of this new deep water facility at Oakajee, some 20 kilometres north of the Geraldton port. So we made the decision in December 2005 that we would now put together the team and do the work that was necessary to select a proponent to develop a new port at Oakajee. And while we were initially proposing, our first idea was that this would be a proposal that would go out to all parties, a completely open tender process. We were approached by the mining companies who were then at that stage operating in an alliance, and they put two points to us why we should confine the participation in this process to the relevant resource companies or to their nominees. And they were this: they argued that the Pilbara iron ore companies had been permitted the financial advantage of developing their own infrastructure. And secondly, and possibly even more compelling argument, was that given the absence of proven reserves to financially underpin this port, no third party would be prepared to commit the funds to do all of the preparatory work to ensure that the facility could open in a timely fashion. At that stage, we were looking at a start date of 2010-2011, and I think even the most optimistic would today suggest that that's probably a bit ambitious. But it is certainly true that in the absence of a sound business case, it was not likely that disinterested third parties would be prepared to do the work in advance of that business case. We considered those arguments, and we considered how we could protect the interest of third parties, and we determined that provided that we ensured that the port, the new port, would be run by the Geraldton Port Authority, given that there was also alternative port facilities available at Geraldton, if you could not strike an acceptable arrangement with the new port, and the fact that the rail would be subject to the jurisdiction of the economic regulator, that we believed that we could make this work, that we could ensure that no third party would be disadvantaged by allowing an interested party or their nominee to proceed with this development. And at that stage, it was quite clear that no one company had sufficient resource and to develop this, to underpin the financial case for this development, and so we had anticipated that this would be a joint project. But of course, as it has become a matter of some international notoriety, that the two companies that remained in the process determined that they wanted to go it alone, that they could not work in an alliance, then we had to establish a mechanism for selecting one of the proponents to build and fund that port infrastructure. Important, obviously, to understand that there can only be one party, that there is a limited number of sites where it is suitable to build such a port. We have nominated that one site. Therefore, it is a natural monopoly, I guess, that there can in fact only be one party that builds the particularly the common user infrastructure. So we were forced to select in relation to the port infrastructure. Now the model, and we're currently in this tender process, the successful bidder, who is limited, as I said, is limited. We have limited the bids to the two proponents, who are mining companies or to their nominated infrastructure provider. The successful bidder will be given the right to build the common user infrastructure at the Oakajee port. That's the seawall, the basin, the channel. And the successful tenderers, as has occurred with the Pilbara ports, will be required to hand over ownership of that of the current user infrastructure to the Port Authority, but will be reimbursed and be entitled to an agreed capital user charge that will be levied by the Port Authority on any subsequent users. The successful proponent will have the first right of use to the berth space that it constructs, but all spare capacity will be allocated by the Geraldton Port Authority. So it will be a case of use it or you lose it. The port will be designed in such a way that the non-successful proponent, and indeed other future users, can build their own berth subsequently. But of course they would need to pay the capital user charge on all of that common user infrastructure, the basin, the channel, the seawalls, etc. We were originally hoping that we'd have a decision by June 2008, but we did have to go back and clarify some of the financial and technical information in these bids, and our aim now is to have a decision by the end of July. And can I say that I think there has been a lot of controversy. As has been said, there's been this debate run, and I don't know whether for entirely proper purposes, but I'm sure there's been a lot of people out there trying to present this as some sort of international battle, that we are going to have to face a very hard decision between choosing the Chinese and the Japanese. Well, quite frankly, we don't see it like that. We say to all parties that we think it is ridiculous that there hasn't been the maturity in the industry, that they are working together and that they have not come to some accommodation. We hope that perhaps after the award we might start seeing that. But we make it very clear that we are not going to be making this decision on geopolitical considerations, that the consideration that we will be making will be the entity that puts forward the bid that is the most cogent, the bid that looks like that from a technical point of view it is the best, from the financial point of view that it is the most doable. So there will be absolutely no consideration given to the international or geopolitical issues. That certainly is not our role. It's certainly not our intention. This will be a straight commercial technical decision that we make. But I do make this point, that the federal government has quite rightly set out some guidelines about the investment of guidelines to frame the decision making around approvals for companies that are sovereign funds or that are controlled by foreign government entities. The way in which we have structured this arrangement, with the Geraldton Port Authority coming in as the owner and operator of the port, the way in which we have determined that there will be a pre-agreed capital user charge, the way in which we determine that there will be any spare capacity will be allocated elsewhere, that we can't see that any entity, even if it was a sovereign fund or owned by a national interest, could in any way subvert the interests of Australia. Now, I think that the concerns that the federal government have said that they need to address are very, very proper concerns. But we believe that we have been able to structure this arrangement in such a place, in such a way, that certainly in relation to the development of the port infrastructure, that there is no risk to Australia's national interest in whatever party happens to be successful at the end of the day. But I repeat, we don't see this as a choice between the Chinese and the Japanese. We will be blind to nationality when we make this decision. And I'm very keen to make the decision because I want us to get on with this project. And it is, but I do say it is going to be a very, very tough project. This is a build in very difficult marine conditions. It's going to be an expensive port to build, and there will have to be a very strong case on behalf of the companies and their shareholders to justify that build on the basis of the resource that has been proven to date, or is likely to be proven in the near future. But that being said, we are doing everything that we can to facilitate this. We have the environmental approvals were originally due to expire this year. We have extended those for another 2 years. And in the interim, we are making sure that if there is a delay in the delivery of Okajie, that we have got the capacity at the Geraldton port to expand. We believe that we could get iron ore exports from Geraldton of up to around 20 million tonnes a year, and we believe that that will ensure that there is no hold-up to the development of the iron ore industry in the Midwest while all of the issues of Okajie are sorted out. But we do recognise it's that there's a lot more to be done. We need to develop the Okajee Industrial Estate. 95% of that is owned by Landcorp. Very important that we make sure that, because in the long run, whilst there is an enormous number of jobs in the construction phase of mining and port projects, at an operational level, they are not great generators of jobs. What we need to make sure is that the Midwest has a diverse economy, and part of having that diverse economy is making sure that we have the support industries up there to service and to feed off that the capacity that is created by that port and rail infrastructure. So we see the development of the Okajee Industrial Estate is going to be critical, and work is underway in doing the major structure planning for that area now. I want to just do a quick presentation on some of the other projects now, the big infrastructure projects that we've got underway in the Midwest, which are going to be needed, Okajee or no Okajee, because the story of the Midwest is much bigger than just Okajee. I think one of the most exciting ones is the new power line upgrade. We are moving to construct, we've committed in this year's budget to construct a new 330 kV transmission line to Perth to Geraldton. That's going to improve sixfold the capacity of energy into the Midwest, and will be a major boost for that region. Anna Katerina, we're good. A major boost for that region. It's going to be enhanced. We've got some exciting projects that are being proposed by the private sector. For example, Aviva Corporation are planning to build a 400-megawatt coal-fired power station in Eneabba, and which will make sure that tramp being on the edge of the grid will give us even greater use out of that transmission line. The Southern Transport Corridor Stage 2. This is a $58 million project extending the Southern Transport Corridor that I spoke about earlier. This will take it out to the Geraldton Mount Magnet Road near the airport, again taking more of the heavy haulage out of the town. Great project that will be due to start in the next by the end of this year. Indian Ocean Drive is an important project for the Midwest, important for the tourism development there. This $110 million project is now well underway. It enables us to get better use of the Brand Highway as a freight route, and also develop that tourism route, and also great for the people of Geraldton who want to get to between their town and Perth in record time. We've also been doing work in the last couple of years, 13 new passing lanes on Brand Highway. The volume of traffic, of freight traffic, of resources traffic on Brand Highway has been very significant. But I also want to mention another fantastic project that, because I think it's equally, if not more exciting than the Okajee project, and that is the and it's a project that will really set this region apart, and that is the Square Kilometre Array. This is we are one of two bids in a $1.8 billion international project, the Square Kilometre Array Radio Telescope in the Midwest. It is us and Southern Africa that are the only two remaining entities in the bid. We have already committed over $7 million to support the bid. We've acquired the land that is necessary to develop this Radio Quiet Park. We had to move it because the Shire actually put an iron ore road through the middle of the Quiet Park. It wasn't very quiet after that. But we've now provided all of the adequate protections to make sure that this extraordinary area remains available for this project. We've already got underway. There has already been some precursor projects that will be underway. So regardless of whether or not we in fact win the major bid, there will be a radio telemetry. I think that's the word I gave you. park that will be located there, and with a great deal of scientific work that is done. But if we are successful, the business and employment opportunities to this region will be substantial, not just in terms of constructing the facility, but it will bring fibre optic cable link for a data processing and control centre at Geraldton, which of course will be majorly beneficial for the whole of the business community. And it will create enormously interesting jobs for people within that local community. And I think one of the most extraordinary things about this project is that they say that within the first 10 minutes of its operation, it will collect more astronomical data than has been collected in the history of mankind. So a truly extraordinary project. And without any disrespect to our iron ore miners, I think one that's even more exciting than the growth of the iron ore industry. But we're doing more than that. We are investing very heavily in projects like the Geraldton Foreshore redevelopment, because we do understand that the human capital is really important, and that we need to create an environment that people are going to want to live in, that they're going to be prepared to bring their families to, or so that we can retain local people. We see, we now, and I think we have been very successful working with the City of Geraldton, Greneth, as it is now is, to really improve the quality of the amenity of the town. The Geraldton Foreshore redevelopment project, we're investing some $26 million into that to really turn the amenity of that town around. Already we're seeing Geraldton becoming a fly-in, fly-out centre for the Pilbara. We see it having great potential as a hub for the whole hinterland. We think, there are opportunities for many of the smaller towns, the Mulowas and Morowas, but I think the big population drivers are going to be within Geraldton Greneth. So there's a great cause for optimism about growth and life in the Midwest. And this optimism is based on a level-headed assessment of future demands and the diversity of that demand and the quality of life that the Midwest can offer its residents and visitors. And it is a diverse economy. It is an economy that will have an underpinning of resource development, but there is agriculture there is horticulture, there is biofuel production, there will be industrial activity, energy innovation, and of course tourism. So a fabulous story here, and we're helping write the next chapter. Thank you very much.